Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Today's message is titled, What to Do When Bad Things Happen. What to Do When Bad Things Happen. Just go ahead and take it away.
Well, when bad things happen, you let go and you let God.
Okay, so I've just been kind of like, there's been like a series of things that have happened and have occurred this year, in the year of 2024, the Cat Williams year. I just find it very interesting, and I'm like a little like, ugh, like what's going on? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I just, for all of you guys that are going through something difficult, and maybe it's the most difficult thing you have ever had to walk through, I want you to focus on something, okay? Because I know both you and I have had lots of things happen to us that weren't the best things. And what do you do in those situations? And what I'm about to tell you probably is not something that people would actually say out loud.
Okay. I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that it's something that people ever even consider. Maybe they do consider it, and maybe they have kind of like glossed over this a little bit.
Okay.
But what do you do when bad things happen? You need to understand a couple of things here. When bad things happen, do they come from the hand of God?
No.
Absolutely not. And we are going to go to scripture for that. And it's found in John 10:10. If you want to look it up, what version is that, Megs?
The Kofi version.
The Kofi version. The New King James version. It says here in John 10:10, mm-hmm. You can find it again in Luke 22, verse 31. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and they may have it in more abundantly, may have it abundantly, my version says, and they might have life and have it to the full, to the fullest degree, okay? And so I want you to see very clearly the person who is at work behind all of your troubles, all of your sadness, everything of chaos and disarray, who really is behind it. You've got to make sure that you know that before I give you the next step.
But I think that people get lost in their emotions so that it's just becomes jaded. So, I mean, I encourage you, if you are going through it, there is you have full control over your mind. See? Oh, no.
Is there scripture?
Of course there is.
Yeah.
And when you have full control over your mind, that means you can shut certain things off. Mm. And I know that that seems like an impossibility when you're going through the thick of pain and hurt and despair, but it's without a doubt still true. So it's really integral that as you're listening to this podcast, you're bringing up to light all of the bad things that are going on or have happened to you in the past. You need to shut it off. No emotions. Get the emotion box, John. We should just use this at the podcast from now on. And you stick all of your emotions in this box and don't let them come out throughout the next hour or so. And what you're going to do is you're going to think with your mental faculties, because that's how you rightfully divide right from wrong.
In 2 Timothy 1:7, I feel like I quote it all the time, but this is going to be in the Amplified Bible, because you said we do have control over our thoughts. And I think that a lot of times when you are in the grieving process, you feel like overwhelmed because of emotions, right? And so you are quite literally flooded. You are inundated. It
no doubt.
Seems as though you are drowning in this, pain and agony. At times it feels like
physical pain.
Physical pain. you know, and it really is a sucky time, you know, and there's been times where I'm sure you've sensed it, I've sensed it, that the people just feel like giving up and they don't want to continue on in their faith because it's just too much of a strain. It's too much of they just already feel depleted. To try to connect themselves with the things of God is just another source of depletion. At least it was for me.
But you eventually got out of that.
Right.
So what makes certain people, because there's, like, I believe there's like a mourning time, and then there's like a spirit of mourning, and it's this perpetual thing that happens and it just doesn't go away.
Well, I think
it taints the person's eyes.
Mm.
They have a different look to their eyes. Mm-hmm. It taints their ability to level up, get out from out of that.
I remember one time when Jonathan had called, because during that season where we had lost our son, he went out to preach. He was on deck to preach. And that was week two after we buried our son. Mm-hmm. It was like the next week or maybe even that week. I don't really know. But I remember slipping. I remember going into that, like, you know, everybody's gone. There's no more flowers being sent. There's no more well wishes and prayers being sent. So now you are inundated with your thoughts mm-hmm. and all of these emotions. And of course, you add with that my hormone imbalance, mm-hmm. you know, cuckoo.
Yeah.
So I'm in a room by myself. Cam's at school. So I'm literally just in
life
a room.
Life has
full
moved
of,
on. Right.
Yeah. Everybody's and moved on and I'm not.
That's some.
Do you know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's something.
So yeah. Everything moves, and it's like, what do you feel in that situation? What do you feel? It's not despair. It's like hatred for life.
100.
It's yeah. hatred for people. I couldn't even pick up my phone. I didn't want to see any babies. I didn't want to see anybody. Like, oh, look at Susie like started walking. Like, don't even put that in my face.
No doubt. Yes.
Because and it wasn't that you are like bitter towards an individual. The individuals have nothing to do with it.
No doubt.
It's about what you're walking through and the loss that you have suffered, that you're never going to see that. And that all has to be brought to light.
Yeah.
Right? You got to look at that and say, wow, this is the new life that I live.
Mm-hmm.
It's apart from what I thought it was. Do
right.
you know what I'm saying?
Right, sure.
And so I do remember calling Jonathan, or he was just like checking up on me, and he would check up on me and he wouldn't call. He would FaceTime.
Ah, smart.
And he would FaceTime because he wanted to see my eyes.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I remember picking up the phone and he just started preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything. He just started preaching and we were on the phone for like an hour and a half. And I just started laughing at the end of it.
Yeah.
But it was like he was quite literally pulling me out of that hole because it was so dark.
Yeah.
And he saw it and he goes, I started this conversation and your eyes were black.
Yeah.
And he's like, and now I see that there's like a little bit of glimmer. There's a little bit of hope, and that's all I want, you know?
It's interesting because I think that there's also this thing that you automatically do in life, mm-hmm. which I think that's what really makes Revival Today so genuinely unique, is that people don't compartmentalize their spirituality here. So the way we is on CTN is the way we is on that pulpit.
Is
the way
we is.
Having dinner with the most reputable ministers. It's literally, it's the way we are. And the fact of the matter is that most people don't know what that looks like in life. There's a certain way that they act towards Christianity when they're in front of Christians. There's a certain way that they behave towards their husband. There's a certain way that they behave with their children or with their high school friends. And none of those ever really mesh.
No.
And so with Christianity, it's very difficult when you have lived a life of just up and ups and high and high and higher to then try to rationalize the truths of this word when you're in your darkest despair.
Right.
So I think that that's one of the hardest things that you have to overcome too,
yeah.
As a child of God, is that, yeah, there's highs, there's lows, but you're going to go higher. And it's just, it's interesting that this is the thing that you run away from during that time, because it's almost like I only know this to be the
it's the first thing that I run away from. It was the first thing. I was like, I don't want to hear it.
Because this is so good and this is so real.
Yeah.
And it's totally the opposite of what you feel.
Right.
Because you're in your over your head.
And I think in the body of Christ, in this realm of faith, we're not allowed to say those things.
No.
We're not allowed to be so real because we are confession people. We are word people.
Yeah.
So we don't ever allow ourselves to like even think about something that could possibly go wrong or, you know, or, and it's not even that. It's not even about things that could go wrong. It's when they go wrong. Like, what do you do with that? There's no coping mechanism. So you just feel shame.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, if you understand that, you know what? Sometimes bad things happen.
No doubt.
And, but God's going to take you through it.
Yeah.
You know, and God's going to hold your hand and he's going to walk you through. And what the devil meant to harm you, God will turn it around for something good. But I think in those moments, especially being faith people, when we do come into that realm of defeat or failure or, you know, some outside circumstance, an accident or something like that, it's like we immediately go into hiding mode, a cave.
Right.
You know, and that's not the remedy either.
No.
You know, the remedy is to just feel it and look at it and be aware of it. Most people don't understand that. Most people cannot come to grips with what's happening in their mind, in their emotions. So they try to pacify it some way. Mm-hmm. And that's the majority of civilization as we know it. They're running away from their problems. They refuse to deal with things head on. But if we know the Spirit of truth, he leads us into all truth, mm-hmm. right? So the truth sometimes hurts.
Yeah.
You know that saying, like, the truth hurts. It sometimes it does. You know, sometimes it's facing the reality that you have created this future and now that future is no longer there. It no longer exists, right? And so that's the truth.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be fluffy about it. That's the truth.
Well, I mean, I think that that's the very thing that people run away from is the very thing that is going to bring
help
you
them.
Healing.
Yeah. Because
I mean,
once
that's
you
what,
recognize that, then that's the healing
exactly.
process can
Because
come.
That's what this book was for. It
right.
wasn't for the perfect Christian.
Right.
It was for those, I mean, look at the story of the stories of David. Right. And his despair and his anguish and the things that he's seen.
Yeah.
You know, Esther, and the list goes on and on and on. It wasn't made for the person that was
Job, Joseph. Yeah. They all had to undergo a series of things that really, I mean, they weren't planning on those things. You know, they weren't, you know, in that kind of state of pressing, you have two options here. You're either going to grow from it or it's going to kill you.
Without a doubt.
And I wish that more people would understand the reality of that, especially when it's so dark.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish that people would get a little bit more serious about how they cope with certain things because they don't realize, like, this will either catapult you or it will destroy you. There's no middle ground.
Right.
Because if you are still, you know, in pain and sulking and you haven't grown, then you're digressing, whether you know it or not. So there's no stagnancy and there's no plateauing in the realm of the Spirit. We are ever increasing people, right?
Yeah.
And so when we ever increase, then there's just certain things that we must deal with. And we don't deal with it by drinking ourselves into a stupor so we don't feel anymore.
Right.
Although we might want to. We're not getting high. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to fill the void with some kind of addiction, you know, good or bad, gym addiction, you know, whatever that might be. We're not trying to fill it. We're just trying to look at the situation and we're feeling it out and we're walking it through. That's and I'm telling you, 99% of people won't do that.
Yeah.
They don't like the feeling of it. It hurts too much.
But you have to.
But you have to. You grow.
Because at the end of the day, the enemy, now again, we're talking a bunch of women who have put their emotions aside and I'm just activating your brain at this point. But the idea that it stops at the killing is wrong.
Right.
It's utter destruction.
It's to steal.
Mm-hmm.
to kill.
Yes.
But then it destroys the family. It destroys your life. It destroys your career.
But not this generation. Like Deuteronomy says, the blessing goes on to a thousand generations.
That's
right. So the decisions that you're doing now are activating thousands of generations to come. So think about that if you've nothing else.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people just can't think past just like the now and what they're feeling right now. But if you start thinking about who's around you, and could you imagine if you went into utter despair? And then we lost Adalis. That would be pretty sucky. We wouldn't even have a church. Definitely not a kids ministry because your girl ain't cut out for that. I see the work that you put in that. We had no kids ministry. In the least, none of those kids be getting saved.
Which leads me to the point that I wanted to really like drive today. One of the reasons... or one of the methods for my healing was
anger.
Anger.
A righteous anger.
A righteous indignation, dare I say.
Retribution.
Retribution. Vindication. Mm-hmm. Revenge. However you might want to look at that. And to this day, it fuels me. I was just talking to a friend of mine who just lost his son. And he said, I already have a crusade set up for next year at that exact same time where my son was born. And he's like, because this is not going to take us out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make the devil pay for what he did to me and my family.
Right.
And so I thought that's it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep.
That's 80% of it. Because if you allow, that's why we started with the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because if you understand that it was the devil that wants to take you out and destroy your entire family, then all of a sudden, you're not attacking God. You're not attacking individuals. You're not even attacking you or your faith. You're attacking the one person that is due an attack, and that is the devil. And so when you focus in on that, then everything just lines up because you understand that I'm not, you know, I didn't want this happening. God surely didn't want this happening to me. So who is behind all of this pain and anguish? It's the devil. And he's trying to slow me down. He's trying to stop me. He's trying to kill me. And once you realize that, then, you know, be a Wolverine and have those like metal things come out. You know what I mean? Whenever he sends like anger and he was about to attack, that's what I feel. It's like ching ching. That's what you should like step into. And that's what really, for me, helped my situation. And that's why we attack the children's church so much. Like we attack it, like we give ourselves to it. Okay. And it's not like an attack because we were talking about attacks, but it's a mindset that we have. We're now cresting on 5 years where that happened to Jonathan and I. And I looking back on it, I'm like, I couldn't be happier with our children's ministry and all of the stuff that we've poured into because I am seeking revenge. Mm-hmm. I am making the devil pay. I am making him feel sorry for the day that he ever messed with me or my family. And so there is that sense of pettiness. There's that sense of vindication that I feel is necessary in order to crest over that bump. Mm-hmm. and move out of that hole. You have to begin to train yourself. What is it that the devil doesn't want me to do? Does he not want me to read the Bible? I'm gonna read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna read it.
No,
and I'm gonna read it all day if I have to. It's like Spide-a-thon for you. Just do like a Spide-a-thon, you know, 1.0, 2.0, or whatever.
Well, Spide-a-thon was made for the enemy. Yeah, right. That's exactly what it was.
It was because Jonathan knew that he didn't want the enemy. The devil didn't want him talking about finances. Yeah. So he took an entire week to talk about finances.
Yeah.
That's all. And there's great blessing that came from that, you know, a major breakthrough that came through that. And so I just wish that y'all could do a spide-a-thon about your situation and go after it and realize God's not the author of confusion or pain or, you know, all of the stuff that's happening. But I am going to align myself with his plan and purpose for my life. And we're going all in. I'm going to grab you by the hand and we're going to like walk this out and we're going to be petty about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be petty. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the healing process. And maybe you're not cut from the same cloth as me. So then just, you know, do whatever you want to do to get out of that. But if you're cut like me and you don't want to be bullied, you don't like it when people bully people, you don't like to be bullied yourself, then I'm going for the jugular. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so I remember when all of this happened, I sat down with Josh and I was like, bro, I have her down as Loki.
Yeah.
In my phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm Thor with this vision for these kids. Okay. I said, you're going to be my brother here. And we're going to like, you know, go after it together. And that's what we did. And we've covenanted and we've partnered with the Lord to see that the children of this generation be reached with the power of Jesus Christ and, be saved. So it's like, oh, you wanted to take my son? Okay. I'll take a million other kids then with me. How's that? How do you like that? How do you like them apples? And so that's what, and to the day I die, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I am pouring of myself, every bit of myself until the coming of Christ to see that that is taken care of. And if you sense a little bit of, you know, revenge in my eyes, that's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's understanding that the devil is such a terrible. I just wish that people wouldn't just be cute with the devil anymore. I wish that you would understand that he hates your guts. He hates your children. He hates the very life that you live and he's going after it. And if you knew that, if you knew that there was an active killer, an active shooter, are you going to let him in your house? So that you could just like chill in your house? Absolutely not. I wish that more people would sober up to the reality that the devil is a bad devil and he wants to kill you and he wants to destroy you. And so set up guards against him and make sure that if that attack does happen, that you are swinging back, that you are, if he's going to fire a 22, you're going to fire a bazooka, huh? That's how it's going to work. You wanna shoot a 22 plinker? You better believe that I'm gonna take the judge and blow your behind away. I'm taking a sawed off double barrel shotgun and we'll see how it plays. Because I'm not going to sit down and cry. And I'm not going, and you know what? Let me just like step back a little bit. I cried.
You did.
I cry.
Yeah.
I get upset. Mm-hmm. I'm bothered. You know, it stings, but you move forward. And I'm not sitting there and on the heels of what Max was saying, it's like there is a difference between grieving and then the spirit of grief. And you know, and you will know, because the spirit of grief is an abyss that knows no end. And you know when you're climbing into it. So what do? You train your mind not to go into that abyss. You can cry, you can mourn, allot yourself time for that. But then allot yourself time to get ready in the morning, clean yourself up, throw on some makeup and go to Target to get PJs. Yeah. Or whatever it is that you gotta do.
Gotta do
you know what I'm saying? But I'm not laying down and dying.
No.
I'm not gonna lay down and take this and have this be something that destroys my marriage or my daughter's life or our ministry. I'm not finna do that.
No.
But what I am finna do is I'm walking out of that, right? So it's like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is leading me through it. So that's what you have to get through your head. I am walking through. I'm not camping out in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not digging a grave so that I could just be defeated and die in the valley of the shadow of death. I am walking my behind through that scenario, and we're coming out on the other side stronger than ever. Sure. And that's it. Once you have that mindset, then we can go somewhere. Then we can do something. But I encourage you, if you feel attacks, the enemies, you know, going after whatever your finances, get in there. Get in the word about finances. And start giving more than you've ever given. If he's attacking your health, get in the word about health, and then begin to do something to help other people find healing. Pray for other people. Lay your hands on other people. See, so that they recover. Whatever that might be, have a vendetta against the enemy.
Amen.
And all will be well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I hope you got something out of that, because that's all I've got. For today, I am going to do better to record more, and I do apologize. And I just want you guys to know that our radiance is coming right up. Our radiance is called the Resistance, and we haven't made any like solid announcements about that because we haven't like recorded much for the promos, but it does begin May 9th. It's May 9th through the 11th. So mark your calendars. Go there with us. It's going to be a phenomenal time. We've rented out a place because of the registration was, you know, so big. So we're going to be in downtown Pittsburgh. So I am so excited about what God's doing, and I want you to be a part of it. Again, that's May 9th through the 11th. And you must register. Okay. If you are if you get our newsletters or our magazines, it's right there, for you to see. It's going to be a powerful time. And it's not for the faint of heart. So if you've come to cry,
I could literally rip this shirt from the back. If I just, I
don't
promise
do that.
You I could.
Don't do that.
There it is.
Yeah.
Just in time for World War III, apparently. I'm just kidding, but.
Well, you might not be.
Maybe not.
But anyway, so that's that. And I'm so thankful that you watch. If you are watching, make sure that you let us know that you're watching. Both of us are on Instagram. Your handle is Magalis Love, right? M-A-G-A-L-I-S. And mine is the only Puerto Rican Shuttlesworth. Actually, no, there's a Mexican Shuttlesworth. But Adalis Shuttlesworth. So find me on social media. Let me know that you were listening. I love you. Ciao. Hey, before you go, real quick, I just want to ask, has there ever been a time in your life where you've committed to serving Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've confessed Him as Lord and Savior of your life? If the answer is a no, or maybe you're not sure, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Listen, there's nothing better than knowing that you're right with God. And there really is a heaven, there really is a hell. And you have to make that decision today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to stay with the world, or are you going to faithfully serve God? And I hope you can say, I want to faithfully serve God, because listen, the signs are there. It's a crazy world we live in. So would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. He's your son. He died on the cross, but on the third day rose from the dead to forgive me of my sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am forgiven. I'm set free. I'm a child of God, in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, this is me clapping for you. You made my day. You made my day. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. I'm so proud that you made this decision. It's quite literally the greatest decision of your life. And I'm just happy that I got to pray you in this prayer and lead you in this wonderful relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you made that commitment with me today, I want you to go to revivaltoday.com. That's our ministry page. And there's a button. It says, just got saved. I want you to hit that button and let me know that you prayed this prayer with me. And we will send you a little package just to say thank you for praying this wonderful prayer. And welcome to the family.
I love you. Besitos.